My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are crazy for Daisy, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, the fan who's just thinking about or planning that first ever trip to Walt Disney World and you don't know Pluto from Uranus. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. This week's guest, Sophie, got to go twice in 2020. We'll find out how she managed to do that and also which character almost came between her and her husband.
If you go with your husband, watch out. She had her eyes on my husband.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, get the latest news from the parks and some of your top tips, all the essential information you need to know to have the most magical time at the most magical place on earth. And make sure you keep in touch, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, we are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. If you want to get in touch for any reason, whether you want to be a guest, you've got any comments or you've got any questions, just send us a message. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at PodMagical is where we are. That's what Rihanna did, who says, I'm not staying on property. What are my must-do restaurants? And can I still make restaurant reservations just the same off-property as if I was staying on property? The answer to can you make reservations the same? Yes, you can at the moment. 60 days in advance before this whole COVID nonsense. It was 180 days, but now it's 60 days, regardless of whether you're staying on-site or off-site. In terms of what restaurants must I do? Well, listen back to the podcast for recommendations because it depends what kind of food you like and what you're into, whether you've got little kids or big kids. If somebody was to ask me, I just had to throw the question, which Walt Disney World restaurants would you recommend? You have to answer straight away. My first response would be Tusker House when everything's back to normal and the characters are in and stuff, because I just think the food is different and interesting and also the characters' interactions are really fun. My second option, only because I love fried chicken, would be Chef Art Smith's at Disney Springs. They were my top two recommendations. So there you go. Hope that helps with that planning. And also, I've had a message on Twitter from Meg, who is planning to go on holiday in October, fingers crossed. It's my best friend's first time. I've not been for about 15 years. Now, my best friend's boyfriend passed away a couple of years ago, and we'd like to go and make this trip in honour of him. Is there anything I can do to make it extra special or extra magical? Any must-dos? First of all, if it's her first time, if you've not been for 15 years and you're due to go in October, I don't know what the cancellation policy is or whether you can move that holiday to when things are a little bit more back to normal and the fireworks are on, especially for first time. I mentioned this on the last podcast, because something that's quite nice you can do if you want to do something in memory of someone, I always say quite a nice thing, whether you're celebrating or you want to be with friends or you want to do something different or special. Fireworks dessert parties, particularly at Magic Kingdom, that's quite a nice thing to do. And you can all get together and share your stories and toast, and you've got the nice music and the fireworks. That's quite a nice way to remember somebody. And also as well, you can get the pin badges that are free and people have them for anything, whether you're celebrating a birthday or you want to put on that you're on holiday in memory of her boyfriend. You could put that on as well. Another thing to do is maybe make a donation to charity in his name. Give Kids the World is an amazing charity. You might have heard Give Kids the World. It's a charity based in Orlando and they've got homes and they look after kids and their families and give them the chance to experience Walt Disney World. And it's for people everywhere. And in fact, we had a family on the podcast about 18 months ago, I think, who went from the UK and they stayed at Give Kids the World. You could maybe make a donation in his name to that charity. I don't know where they still got it now, but they used to have what was called the Avenue of Angels. So you'd make a donation, I think it was $200, and they'd put his name on a paving stone. And obviously that money then would be donated to the charity, to the village, so that in his name, a child could have the magical adventure of being at Walt Disney World. Or maybe if he's more into animals, maybe when you go to Animal Kingdom, ask about the Disney Conservation Fund, maybe make a donation in his name. Something you could do, or maybe if you've got a photograph of your friend and her boyfriend together, take that with you or print that out and maybe get a nice little photo frame of Walt Disney World and you can put that in and give it to her as a present that she can have in her hotel room. Just a few little special magical things that maybe she could do. And I hope that trip goes well and I hope it happens and I hope everything's at 100% when you finally do go. If you've got any more recommendations, maybe any ideas of things they can do for like that, if you want to do something in somebody's memory or somebody's honour, do let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. Same place to send any questions that you've got. And it's the same place to go if you fancy coming on the podcast to chat about Walt Disney World. We're always looking for guests. You want to be a guest? Let me know. This week's guest is Sophie, who's been twice last year in 2020 from the UK. We'll find out how very soon. But first of all, Sophie, tell me what it is that you love about Walt Disney World.
Well, I think, like most people will probably say, it transports you. You can escape from all your troubles. It's just magical. And I think if you've been like me when you're a kid and then you go back when you're an adult, you sort of get that nostalgia feel again. And yeah, you're pretty much ageless when you go to Disney, which I think everyone likes.
You say you went when you were a kid. How old were you when you first went?
Well, I had to look in our family photo albums, actually, because the first time I went, I was only 5 months old.
Whoa!
And that was in 1997. So, yeah, needless to say, I can't remember that trip or a couple of the trips after that. But yes, I've definitely been inducted into the Disney family from a young age.
You know nothing else. So how many times were like, did you go every year as a family?
Well, we tried to go as much as we could. We had some family that had a villa out there, so we mostly stayed off property in their villa. So we were lucky that we didn't have to really pay for that as such. So we were able to go pretty much once a year if we could, sometimes twice a year. So yeah, I feel very fortunate as an adult to be able to look back at my childhood and see a lot of it spent either at Disney or Florida in general, really.
And you say sometimes twice a year because it was like you predicted there was a worldwide pandemic coming and we weren't allowed to go, because at the beginning of 2020, you went twice.
I know. Yeah, definitely an unexpected two trips. They were literally planned within days of each other. But yeah, we just took advantage of last minute deals. We could get the time off work. And yeah, we're looking back, it's amazing that we were even able to go at all last year. So
when did you go last year?
So we went in January for the first time, just for 2 weeks. And then we went end of February again, and we spent a couple of days in the parks, and then we went on our first Disney cruise.
Yeah. And then in March, the parks closed, and then we've not been able to go to America since. So you really did good by getting them in there.
It's funny, actually, because my parents ended up going in March, and then they were stuck out there. They experienced one day in the parks before everything closed.
Were they able to get back when they should have got back?
They were out there for 3 months.
Well, I could think of worse places to be honest with you.
I know, that's what we were saying to them, so I didn't feel too bad for them.
Even with the parks closed, I think I'd be quite happy over there.
Yeah.
Knowing it's on the doorstep. And how was your first ever Disney cruise then? Tell me about that.
Oh, we both really enjoyed it. We've both been on a cruise before, so we knew we were okay on that side of things. But it was my first sort of Caribbean cruise, both of our first Disney cruise. And it was as if they'd picked up the park and put it on a boat. It was like, it just felt like a Disney hotel on sea, really. The food was just as good. Like, all the staff, all the cast members were amazing. And obviously you get to go to Castaway Key, which I think is something that everyone would love to do. You get the characters thrown in as well. So yeah, it was really fun. We would definitely do another cruise.
Like you say, it's like the best of Disney and the best of the service, just on a big floating hotel.
Exactly, yeah.
And it was the Fantasy was the ship that you
had. Yeah, the Fantasy. And we were really lucky. We got a room right at the back of the boat. So right where the Dumbo is, we could literally look out at him. So that meant it was really great when we came into the different ports. When we left, we had a really good view.
And then Castaway Key, which is the last stop on the last day, isn't it? Which is Disney's own private island.
It is just a Disney paradise. We spent quite a bit of it in like the adults only area and on the ship as well. If like you've got a member of the family that's not Disney mad, you can step away from it a little bit. But I was all in for like meeting the characters, getting all the different merchandise. Like, I'm a big pin collector as well, so I was all about that. I would just say it's like just a Disney paradise. It is lovely. And it's a shame that they don't spend more time there, really, I think, than just one day.
And in terms of the ship, I've only ever done one Disney cruise. I've only ever done one cruise. And to get me on a cruise, it had to be Disney. Yeah. I thought, because we didn't go with kids, we didn't go as a family. I noticed when you get on the ship, it's like there's kids on there, but they all disappear.
Yeah, they completely disappear. I think they must go to all their like kids' clubs. And like you see them around the pool, but even like our room was on the same level as all the kids' activities and the kids' areas, and we barely saw them. And like even at dinner time, because it was just me and my husband, they sat us with other couples. So it was really nice. I mean, we wouldn't have minded if there were kids there at our table, but it was nice that they sort of paired us with other people sort of similar to us and our age. But yeah, it was odd. It was like they all disappeared and then they all just came out to meet the characters at different points.
And in terms of combining that, did you stay at Disney with that trip or did you just literally go get on the boat and fly back?
Yeah, we drove up to the port and got on the boat there and then drove back. So we didn't stay on property on that time.
All right, so did you fly into Orlando and then pick a car up?
Yeah, we always like to stay at a hotel at Gatwick or Heathrow the night before.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's also like a fun little ritual. We like to go and look and we get our sweets for the evening and that sort of thing. We have a nice meal usually. And then it's just that ease. You don't have to worry about getting there. On one of the trips, we flew into Tampa as well. And that was different from us. And it was completely different. It was so, like, it was obviously a lot smaller, but it was so much quieter. And obviously you've got the drive in, but I think if you can sort of get away with doing that and you don't mind driving in, it was such a smooth getting through customs and all that. There wasn't the long lines at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And then how long was the drive from Tampa to Walt Disney World?
It was about an hour.
Okay.
So it wasn't too bad. And usually sometimes we have a long trip anyway, getting from a villa from the airport, usually if like it's traffic and stuff with the I-4 and that. So for us, it wasn't that big a deal.
And when you went on the cruise, where did you fly into then?
I think that was the time we flew into Tampa.
All right, okay.
We flew in a couple of days before, right. So we were able to sort of go around the parks a little bit as well, which was nice. And then we hopped on the cruise and then we came back into port and then the next day we were due to leave.
And with the car, did you have a car for the entire time? Did you just leave that at the port for the week?
Yeah, we did end up. We weighed up our options, like getting a taxi there or getting an Uber or anything, and we just ended up, the cost of it and the cost of getting a car sort of weighed each other out the same, so we ended up just getting the car. And then obviously it was helpful for getting to and from the parks before the trip as well.
Let's go back to Walt Disney World then. You've been a number of times, Sophie, but what's the one big thing that when you think about Walt Disney World, you think about the moment that this happened?
I think for me, it is quite a recent one, actually, because for some reason, I can't remember a lot of like my childhood trips at Disney.
Not when you're 5 months old, no.
No, I think they all just sort of blur into one. But it would have to be last January, we did the firework dessert party at Magic Kingdom. And it was freezing that night. We had to buy gloves and extra jackets, and we were sat there huddled in blankets that we had to buy. But we had an amazing view of the fireworks, and that is just like one of my standout memories. I think I would always remember us really freezing cold, but it was like the buzz, I guess, was what kept you going. And obviously the desserts afterwards were amazing.
Obviously.
So
which one did you do, because there are different ones, aren't there? There's ones where you can sit in Tomorrowland Terrace, or there's ones where you can have desserts before or after. Which package did you go
for? I think we did the one where you can sit out in the Garden Hub and then you have the dessert party afterwards.
That's the best one,
because I didn't want to be rushing the desserts and then worrying about getting our place. I very much would rather sit there for an hour before just to get a good view. But it wasn't that crowded anyway, so we didn't really have an issue with that. But
I think that's the cheaper one as well. And did they have alcohol included in that? Because I know they either just started alcohol or they were about to.
I think they were just giving, I think it was a very limited amount of alcohol.
Yeah.
And a limited selection as well. I mean, we're not big drinkers, so we sort of headed towards the hot chocolates more.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when we did the Epcot frozen one in 2019, and they said two alcoholic drinks per person, but people were sort of going up more than that, so they were pretty lenient on that, really.
We haven't even started talking about some of your favourite Walt Disney World things yet, so we'll get to attractions and restaurants and hotels in just a bit. Let's catch up with the latest news though first. And if you've been waiting to book your 2022 holiday direct with Walt Disney World, well, they went on sale just a few days ago. Few things to note from the booking windows and what we can see. Firstly, the Disney dining plan isn't available to add on your Disney package at the minute. So the Disney dining plan isn't on sale. So if you're holding on for the free dining for next year, that's probably not going to happen. In terms of buying the dining plan, well, maybe it will come back next year, or maybe we'll have to wait until the year after. But I think as far as the parks aren't at full capacity and the restaurants aren't at full capacity, I don't think you can really sell people a dining package if they then can't book the restaurant they want to be at, which is difficult as it is anyway. Also, from the bookings that went available this week, it's also interesting to notice that the park reservation system is set to continue into 2023. So at the minute, if you want to go into one of the parks, then you have to book in advance because the parks are at capacity. Park hopping is available in the afternoon, but once you've checked into your first park, so you do have to check into a park every day, and that looks set to remain until January 2023. But again, with like the dining plan, it's better to have it in place and hopefully, you know, if the world becomes better before then, and they'll might say, oh, well, we don't need the park reservation system anymore and restaurants are back at capacity, we can put the dining plan back in, we can get rid of this. I suppose it's better to have it in place now than have to take it out and then put it in again. At least people know what they're into. One other thing to notice, and I don't know why people would do this, but if you rock up to Florida and you're paying for your Disney parks day by day, if you just go in without a park ticket and you're getting them when you get there, the prices haven't gone up, but different days have different prices. And the cheaper days there are less of, the more expensive days there are more of. So on average, your daily cost has gone up. The cheapest days, which means the quietest times for the parks, seem to be end of August into September. So if you're looking at booking for next year, maybe if the schools are still off, if you want to get in a school holiday at the end of August when the kids are still off, or maybe you can go in September, hurricane season, that looks like that's an indication of when that's the quietest time. Everything else going on at Walt Disney World at the minute, not that we can go, but it's the last few days of the Festival of the Arts over at Epcot. And then the week after that is the return of the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival from March the 3rd till July the 5th. Also at Epcot, the Leave a Legacy monoliths, the ones that were in the park entrance, those kind of like big grey tombs with loads of little pictures on. Well, they've been moved now. They're over by the entrance and they're a lot more colourful. There's a nice new entry to Epcot. They'll have finished it by the time we get to go. Meanwhile, over at the Magic Kingdom, the Liberty Bell riverboat is back on the Rivers of America. The Rivers of America have been drained. They've cleaned it. They've given the boat a lick of paint and everything's lovely and new, and they're still building Tron. So once again, when we get to go, everything should hopefully be finished. Any more news updates, don't forget to keep an eye on our Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. We are at PodMagical. Sophie's our podcast guest this episode. So let's get to some of your favourite things at Walt Disney World then. Favourite attraction?
My favourite attraction is really hard to pick, but I think my favourite one is probably a little bit obscure, but it is Carousel of Progress.
Uh-huh.
I think just for, I mean, you get to sit for 20 minutes in air conditioning, so it's a great break in the day, but I don't know, it's something about the music and like the nostalgia, and it's like a little mini world that you can just, again, go away to and escape for 20 minutes. Probably not the best if you've got young children that maybe won't sit still for that long because you can't really exit it whilst you're on it.
But yeah, there's no way out.
No. So yeah, as long as you've got the 20 minutes to spare and you know that you're going to be able to sit for the 20 minutes, I think for me, it's definitely my favourite, the nostalgia to it. It does need a little bit of updating, I'd say, especially the end of it. It's something we always make a point of going on at least once or twice on our trip.
I think the last scene is getting a bit of a refresh. It's getting a bit of an update.
Yeah, I heard they were going to do it for the 50th anniversary, but I guess with COVID, I don't know what's really happening with all the developments and things like that.
Who knows? Who knows? And that attraction as well, that's quite a nice connection with Walt Disney, isn't it? With the man himself.
Yeah, I think it's one of the last ones that he really had a hand in. It's like that and like the Tiki Room I enjoy. I feel like they both have a similar animatronic vibe to them.
Yeah, they could never get without them, could they? There would be an outcry if they ever did. And let's talk about food then. Have you got a particular favourite restaurant?
Well, I've got two, if that's all right.
You can have two, that's fine.
So one out of the parks would have to be Topolino's Terrace. breakfast specifically is an amazing character dining.
Yeah, this top of Riviera, isn't it? The new resort.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, the resort itself is beautiful just to go and walk around anyway. But obviously, it's quite easy to get to as well. You can get on the Skyliner and things like that. But yeah, the breakfast there is phenomenal. And it's a little bit pricier, but I mean, for us, we love to go to it every time. And they do all these lovely pastries that they just keep refilling. And like, you can have steak for breakfast if you want. And then like, all the characters come around and there's great music and we just have the best time. So yeah, we've definitely seen people of all ages there. So I would say it's definitely a good one for anyone in the family to go to.
Now, am I right in saying it's all you can eat there? Now, I've heard this from a number of people going, oh, they give you the menu and you can choose like a main course. They bring you the pastry and stuff. But like, if you want, yeah, kind of like what you do on the cruise, if you want one of everything on the menu, once you've eaten it, you can have another one. Am I right in saying that? Or did you not get that far?
I mean, we've never tried it, but we have like said, can we get a side of this? Or like, if you want, I'm sure they would be able to tailor anything,
yeah,
for you. But as far as like the pastry side of it, that's definitely, we've gone through two or three buckets of pastries in the past. So yeah, definitely that's unlimited. But to be honest, the portions as well are good sizes. Yeah. So I don't think you'd be wanting everything on the menu, but yeah, that's definitely our favourite out of the parks. And then in the parks, I would say the Sci-Fi Diner in Hollywood Studios, just for the pure theming. I love the 1950s. I mean, they've got some good dishes. It's not going to be your Topolino's Terrace.
No.
But just for the atmosphere, the theme, you sit in a retro like Cadillac and it's just amazing. You get to watch these really cute little cartoons on the big screen and it just transports you back to a lovely 1950s world.
Again, great air conditioning in there if you want, yes, somewhere a bit cooler to sit down.
Yeah.
What do you have off the menu when you go there?
I think last time we had, it was like a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Ooh. That was really nice. And they also do really good desserts in there as well. So I always try and save room for that and good milkshakes as well. I always get an Oreo milkshake.
That's the first time I'd ever had an Oreo milkshake was there. And yeah, I will never forget it for that. Have you got a favourite character that you like to meet in the park?
I always have liked meeting Mary Poppins. I just think the British interaction as a child, I think I always loved that.
Yeah.
I think in more recent years, I mean, Mickey Mouse has to be a highlight.
Oh, the box man.
I think one year we went and he was talking. I don't know if they still do that.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, but that was quite a moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just awe-inspiring that someone that you'd just like heard in films and on TV and suddenly he's there, like brought to life. That was amazing. Definitely been more in the past couple of years that we've just like gotten into meeting characters more and more now. And I think Daisy especially, she's always sassy.
Oh, sass queen.
Yeah, especially if you find her at Topolino's Terrace. She is the sassiest little ballet dancer around. Especially if you go with your husband, watch out.
She'll have him.
Because she had her eyes on my husband.
Yeah, yeah. That's why she won't get married to Donald.
She's too big a flirt.
Yeah, she's not one for settling down, is she, our Daisy?
No.
Not at all. You mentioned before that you've stayed in villas. Is that where you stay all the time or do you sometimes stay on site?
Growing up, we always stayed in the villas. Last year we did branch out a little bit, so we stayed for a couple of days at the Caribbean Beach Resort.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice to get my first experience of staying on Disney property. We also did the one at Universal, that's right on the volcano. What's that called?
The Volcano Bay.
Cabana Bay.
Cabana Bay, yeah.
Yeah, we stayed there for a couple of days as well. So we're dipping our toes into staying on property. And for our next trip, we hope that we can stay on Disney again then.
How did you find it then, having stayed in villas so much, having then stayed on property? Do you think, was the hype worth it? Was the expense worth it? Or were you going, I'm glad I've done it, but I'm still getting just as much staying in a villa for my price?
I think for us, because we are such Disney buffs, both of us, we definitely get all the benefits of staying on property. I know they're doing a lot of changes and different things like the Magical Express.
Yeah.
But I think if you want the overall 24/7 Disney experience, staying on Disney property is worth it. I think the only thing I would probably miss is being able to just like lounge around your own pool every day, which is what we usually do a lot. So I think that's the only thing I'll miss. But I've enjoyed doing both of it. I mean, I've basically grown up in this family villa. It's like a second home to me. But I definitely, in the next couple of years, want to start going more onto Disney properties if we can, and get into explore those as well.
What resorts have you got on your list? Where else would you like to stay?
So, I mean, there's obviously like the ideal ones you'd love to stay at, but are like way out of budget. But I think next time we're going to stay, hopefully, at Art of Animation, just because it is so close to the Skyliner.
Yeah.
And we love going to Epcot. That's probably our favourite park. So I think that would be a really good link for us. But I'd love to one day be able to have a room. It doesn't matter which hotel it is, have a room that overlooks the fireworks of Magic Kingdom. I just think that would be amazing, just to like sit in your pyjamas on the balcony and just watch the fireworks and not have to worry about all the crowds. That's like my dream one day.
That will be awesome. I think the way you want to stay for that is you probably need to rent out DVC points and stay at Bay Lake Tower in a one-bedroom theme park view.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be looking at, renting out DVC points from somebody. Yeah, put that on
we'll
your
keep
list.
Keep that in mind, yeah.
So of all the times you've been, is there anything that they used to have at Walt Disney World that they now no longer have that you really miss?
I mean, the attraction's still there, and that is Test Track. But I miss the old test track.
Yeah.
Getting to be, you know, a car test dummy. And I think it was slightly more interactive in a way. I know you get to build your own car now, but if you do a fast pass, you don't get to really do that anyway. Or if you go as a single rider. I really miss all the different, you'd have the different ride surfaces, and you go through the really hot bit and then the really cold bit. And although I know it's all essentially the same track, it doesn't have as much character, I guess, to me as it did once before. So that's sort of what I miss.
I know what you mean. And in terms of tips for people going to Walt Disney World, is anything you particularly picked up that you would recommend doing?
I mean, it's not something like an attraction to do or anything, but one thing I would just suggest is just to find a place and just sit and enjoy the atmosphere for a bit. One of our personal favourites is sitting at the top where the train station is in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And overlooking that balcony onto Main Street. I think just being able to sit there for a little bit, just do some people watching, listen to the music, maybe have a snack from the bakery.
I think
just having those quiet moments to soak it all in. I think in general with Disney trips, try not to cram everything in, because you won't do everything. And just, you know, even planning in those times of relaxation, whether it be sitting on a bench for half an hour or going to check out a resort, just to get away from the parks a little bit.
Yeah,
and I just
agree.
Decompress for a bit.
I think we did a podcast last year about the top five places to escape. So some places you go just near the parks, we can just pop out and just take it all in, take the atmosphere in. So luckily you went twice last year. Have you got your eye on going back again soon?
We're going to hopefully go in 2022.
Okay.
Hopefully. I mean, we would have liked to go this year, but I think there's too much uncertainty with it that we just...
Not bothering.
Thought we just pushed it back to next year. So hopefully things will be up and running. And also, we didn't really want to do Disney wearing masks.
Yeah.
Just because I think we're just going to be too hot. So we both don't really do very well in the heat, which is why we go to Florida.
In January.
And I think we've got it sort of September time, so it's still going to be quite hot. And we just hopefully we won't have to wear masks by then.
Hopefully not. Yeah. Are we talking, what, 18 months?
Yeah, so.
Hopefully by then.
Yes.
Oh, I hope so, Sophie. Meanwhile, lovely talking to you. Thank you for sharing your magical times, and
no problem.
Have a magical day.
Angie, thanks.
If you'd like to join me and chat about Walt Disney World, one episode on the podcast, just give me a shout. You can send me a message, send me a private message. Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, at PodMagical is where we are. Also, if you've got any top tips or any Disney Plus recommendations or anything, do get in touch. I like your contributions for the podcast. In fact, this episode, our top tip of the week comes from Emma, who sent me a message via Facebook. If you are missing Walt Disney World, they were supposed to be going this year, but because of COVID-19, we're going to delay this trip until the world goes back to normal. Instead, Andy, I've been keeping the Disney fire burning by downloading a game for the Xbox. It's called Disneyland Adventures. You basically run around the park, meeting characters and doing tasks. It's cute. It could be for kids, but I love it. I'm not a big gamer, but I am a big Disney fan, and it's really filling the gap of not being at the Disney parks. Thank you very much, Emma, for that top tip, and happy 30th this year, because that's why Emma was supposed to be going to Walt Disney World for her 30th, but holding it off until next year, or maybe at the end of this year. Well, who knows? Thank you very much for that top tip. If you've got any top tips, or you want to be a podcast guest, or you just want to keep up with the news that's going on in Walt Disney World, don't forget PodMagical, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, if you could do that as well, because, well, we've got a regular podcast every other Friday, but sometimes we'll throw some extra ones in, so don't miss one. If you could share it and tell your friends about us as well, that would be great. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you could give us 5 stars and a great review, that just lets people know that we're here. If they're looking for Walt Disney World Podcast, just helps them find us. So thank you so much if you have done that already. And that's it for this episode of the most magical podcast on earth. So, as we always say, until next time, please stand clear of the doors.